All right, so an interesting halacha you derive from the Megillah. And that is that, you see, it says, Mordechai, I mean, the whole thing began because of Mordechai, lo yichra lo yishtachra. So the Chazal asks, the question is, why not? I mean, there's nothing, it's not us to show respect to a person through Shtachavoya. You see by Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov was Mishtachava to Esav. So that's not us. So that's the Gemara's question. Why wasn't Mordechai? Why did he refuse to be Korei Mishtachava? So Chazal answered, because he made himself into a god, deified himself. So you see, that's an interesting halacha. I mean, that was Mordechai's halacha. That a person, if a person has delusions of greatness, so that's one thing. I mean, he thinks he's great. It's tolerable. You can tolerate that. But apparently there's a line that a person can cross, that it's beyond being great, but it reaches the point of self-deification. And if it reaches that point, then... Hello? Yeah. If it reaches that point, so then if a person is Korei Mishtachla, he's over in the Avodah Zarah. It's an interesting thing. That if a person is just after greatness, he wants to be known as a great individual, he's proud of himself... I mean, like Achashverosh, he would have bowed to Achashverosh. The Melech would have bowed to him. He's a Balgaiva, he's obsessed with himself, his grandeur, his... All right, that's I mean, his own rishis, but his own evil, but it's not a Avodah Zarah. But see, with Haman, it was a different thing. And Mordechai sensed in Haman a different dimension. This man is beyond the ordinary type of ego. This is an individual who is engaged in self-deification of the self. So deification of the self, then it's an Isra Avodah Zarah about Dantam. And this is the Raisa. Mordechai lo yichra lo yishtachva. That's a new halacha, basically. That you have to define the nature of the individual. And if the individual is just an egomaniac, that's one thing. But whereas egomania reaches the point of self-deification, then that's Avodah Zarah. That's complete Avodah Zarah. Yes. Yeah. Apparently, it would appear clearly. It's a quality in Amalek. It is a quality in Amalek. How would you identify the quality? I mean, what is the nature of the quality? It's interesting, because there's two chazal. One chazal say, as a matter of fact, the Gemara says in Megillah, the Gemara says, There's another chazal that would appear to contradict it, but it's not a contradiction. The other chazal says that he was wearing an Avodah Zarah on his chest, you see. But you have to understand what is that chazal saying? That's when he was wearing an Avodah Zarah on his chest. I mean, he wasn't motivated by religion. Okay. Hello. Hello. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He wasn't motivated by religious fervor, but it means to say what Chazal means to say that is that, of course, that the person doesn't necessarily have to make it doesn't have to be that insane that he's saying that he himself is the center of the universe and there's nothing else besides. Not too crazy. It means to say he's tuned in to he has special access to powers. You see, to supernatural powers. So that's what it means he wore the avodah zarah on his chest. But basically, it stemmed from the self. But the But what would you say the definition is of a what is that borderline? I mean, the borderline that that the human being transcends, that makes him into engaging in self-deification as opposed to simple vainglory. I mean, what is the element that that causes him to transcend that barrier? You see, I would say the element is that, of course, the person maintains he has access to supernatural powers, but the underlying element is that his will is reality. See, his will determines reality. That is the underlying. That's the underlying essence of Asatz Avodah Zarah. That everything has to conform to his will. That is the that concept, that idea. And that idea, you see again in the recent Amalek and Hitler Machshava. I mean, that's the same thing. So according to the Megillah, if a person Hitler would be the same exact Issa Avodah Zarah. To be Mishtachava would be to be over an Issa Avodah Zarah. An Issa Avodah Zarah, an actual Issa Avodah Zarah. That you see, even if it was in a diplomatic way, I mean, that's what the Megillah is saying. Even diplomatically, you cannot be Korea Mishtachava to an individual that is maintaining that fantasy. That means Asa Atzmo Aloha. So he made himself into a god. That his will is the center of the universe, and everything has to conform to his will. That's the element. Yes, this is ideology. The sources, the sources are primitive sources, but the ideology. I mean, once that's developed into an ideology, that is Avodah Zarah. Now, that's really halachically derived from that. Politically, it would be also politically to show respect to such an individual, because that would ipso facto be bowing down to Avodah Zarah. That's Mordechai's halacha, really. That was Mordechai's halacha. Or Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachva. Means he paskin halacha that this is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. This is an issue of Avodah Zarah, and to show respect through diplomatically bowing to him, you're over an issue of deraisa of Avodah Zarah. That was really the halacha of Mordechai.
Why wasn't Paro in that?
Paro is not that one. Not the same. It is not the same. See, Paro. There are many forms of egomania and rishis. But this form is a unique form. I can't elaborate anymore. At this point, I want to go on something else. I just wanted to mention that. But there is a different dimension, a different element. It's a different psyche, and a different mind, and a different kind of ideology. It's a different ideology. A Malik is a different ideology. It's a self-deification. Achashverosh was also no tzaddik. I mean, he was no humble person, but he's not in the same category. You see that Achashverosh could be converted from a son of Yisrael to an Oad Yisrael. I mean, in the beginning he had the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. It says, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash was bothered him. I mean, and he wanted to destroy the Jews and to show that there's nothing to Yahadus. But essentially, the conflict, descriptively, I would say there's two conflicts that the anti-Semite has with the Jew. One is a conflict because of the competitive and the egoistic. That's the Jew is a dangerous competitor. for the guy. And of course, everybody would likes to remove competition, because it takes away from their greatness. Greatness is relative, and it's competitive. That's Achashverosh, and that's certainly a Russia. But Haman is different. Haman is, Amalek is, that they're in tune with an underlying reality of ideology, you see, that they lay claim to an underlying reality and ideology, you see. And that ideology is based on the self-deification. It's a different kind of, it's an ideological concept. That's why really the truth of the matter, that's why Amalek is really the greatest danger, Sonei Hashem, Sonei Yisrael. And in a sense, though, and in a certain distorted way, Amalek has a much deeper understanding of Klal Yisrael than the other Russia has. Much deeper sensitivity to the reality of the truth of Klal Yisrael in a sick way, but they do have a greater knowledge. They say in a distorted manner, Amalek. That's why Amalek is really the most dangerous. So Amalek has in a demented, distorted, pathological way, they have a certain kind of knowledge of the Jew that other Rishonim don't have. See, Achashverosh, the threat of the Jew, as I said before, is a competitive threat. And so once Achashverosh became clear through Esther's ingenious plan to bring about Balailo Nadar Shnasamach, to make him start worrying about where Haman is going, which direction is that he really wants to take over the whole Malucha and destroy Achashverosh. Once he saw that plan, and he saw what would have happened to him, and he said, the Jews are fine, they're wonderful, because he was in the world, the competitive man is in the world of the relative. So when he saw, relatively, what would have happened to him in Haman's hands, and then he sees the Jews are the ones that saved him, so the Jews have a place, fine, he was very happy with it. Because what could have happened to him was clear. And what could have happened to him had been complete destruction. As the Jews, they want to keep their religion or whatever. That is very, it became an obvious role. It became an obvious role. Because of the, he's a Russia in the relative world. The relative world of Russia. That is, that such a person can be converted. And he can go from a Sonei Yisrael to an obvious role. But an ideological Russia. You see, someone who's the ideological Russia, whose ideology is one which is the opposite of the real ideology of ours, and he senses through the evil distortion, he senses a certain reality about the Jew. You see, and the Rai is, of course, from the Pasuk, and where do you see that? You see that Haman had a very great knowledge, something that's very true about the Jew. And it was expressed through Zeresh. In Mizera Yehudim, Mordechai, Ashachilosa Limpolofonov, Lo Suchalo, Kinafolti Polofonov. She was saying something that's very true. That's very true. So you see that the need to repress the reality of the Jew is really what creates the evil ideology of Amalek. But down deep, they have a certain pathological, that's the cause of the pathological fear, you see, of the Jew. And that's the misery. How come a few days before she was saying to hang Mordechai and Eloheitz? So the answer is because a few days before she was talking in her conscious mode, which was repressing the reality of Klal Yisrael. But once that became undone, then the fear, the morbid fear. See, the Amalek has a morbid fear of the Jew, an underlying fear of the Jew. It's a pathological fear. See, but it's based on his distorted ideology. But he's a deep, the difference between Achashverosh and between a Haman is that Achashverosh is an egoistic man, but Haman is an ideological man. He knows that in ideology, that's where it's really at. And he has to be against the true ideology. He has to repress the true ideology, and that's the greatest fear, is that that true ideology is real and he's going to be overthrown by it. It's an ideological warfare. But that's the halacha of Mordechai. The halacha of Mordechai is Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtacha, means that you have to study the mind of a person, of the Russian, and see which category of Russia does he belong in. If he belongs in the category of the ideological Russia, of the self-deification, then it's an absolute Isra Avodah Zarah to bow down to him or to give him respect in a diplomatic, even in a diplomatic way. Even in a diplomatic, that's what he paskin was. He paskin an important shalos of sakonis nefashis, I mean, for all of Klal Yisrael. But his psak was clear. That was that if an individual is engaged in self-deification, then to bow down to him, even diplomatically, is an issa d'oraisa of Avodah Zarah and yechayev limsos nafsho. It's a chiddush, halachic, that's the halachic chiddush of Mordechai. It's a powerful, powerful halacha. It's a powerful halacha. And that's really, that's Mara. That's the man that gives from Ish Yehudi. So you see that the Torah demands that an individual, I mean, has to study the mitzvahs and understand them not just in terms of performance, I mean, in terms of just Maisa HaMitzvah, but the Havonas HaMitzvah. And Mordechai understood the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah very well. And he had to be machria. And his machria that this diplomatic gesture is absolute Avodah Zarah and Yechayev Limzos Nafsho. That was his psak halacha. Yeah, that was the machlekes. Yeah, that's the machlekes. That's why there were those who were angry at him. You know, it's very, very easy now. Now you read the Megillah, Mordechai is, everything he does is wonderful. But in those times, it was machlekes, the chazalas, they were angry at him. They said, he was misak in all of Klal Yisrael. But that was his psak. The psak, hard to, not only was his psak a courageous one insofar as Haman and so far as the responsibility of the psak and jeopardizing all of Klal Yisrael, but it was a very hot psak. It was very courageous because he went against Klal Yisrael themselves. Much of Klal Yisrael, they held that he's wrong in doing this. It's a tremendous courage for Mordechai to come out against everything. I mean, against.
Why
the other side? No, the other side simply held that in Shulchan Aruch has not brought down such a thing. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not Tzuras Avodah Zarah, you see. But he held that notice. It's clear that this, if a person sets himself up as a god, that he's involved in the fantasy and illusion of self-deification, that it's the same Avodah Zarah. Same Allah. Worse. Yeah. There's different kind. See, there's a different kind of a Russia. I mean, this requires great knowledge to know the underlying ideology. There's always a self glorification, and even a kind of self deification. But it's different. There's a difference between the true ideological self-deification. It's an area that, it's a deep area. I'm not going to try to give all the components of it. I mean, it has to be something, you have to really think into it. It's a deep area. But the only thing I did mention was, that the quality of the individual's will being the underlying will of reality is that idea. And that you saw in Hitler, Mach Shimon, and Nazism. That's the same thing.